Good Friday afternoon and welcome to the final home run of the week with Helmut and Dwight. As always, we're always here with an exciting topic, whether it's national, aka based on Namibia, or regional, as in per region, discussions coming out of different regions of the country, or regional as in continental, or just full on global. We do it all. And we're mostly, report based guys. We like to read through what others said so that we don't have to do all the saying. We just look at what did this person say in this event, because those are the people whose opinions matters the most. Whose opinions most people are more interested in finding out what's going on in which area of global or national discussion. Today's one is one that is based on a national discussion. One of the all-time exciting show or all-time exciting topic. That is the topic of land. Don't worry. Now, I feel like when I become a politician and I have my own political party, that's if radio presenting and comedy doesn't work out. I'm just either starting a church or a political party, one of the two, whichever works out. Now, thanks to our democracy, it turns out I can do both. And now, you better laugh at my jokes, because if I start a party, man, you guys have never been lied to. Because I'm breaking the record. If you vote for me, one person, one farm, no one is gonna fall for that crap.
Yeah, that's how it starts, Helmut. Someone is definitely going to steal your tagline this coming up, upcoming local regional election. One vote, one farm.
Good stuff, Helmut. One vote. Yeah. One person, one farm. One voter, one farm. Till you find out that a homeboy does not even own a hectare.
No, homeboy doesn't even have an ID yet. To even allow them to come close to the bank account.
Yes, he's one of those people that are driving with health passports.
Do you know what's the weirdest thing?
What's that?
In the UK, they are complaining about digital IDs because they're afraid of state surveillance.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I also came across that.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to state surveillance, that one is a very somewhat polarizing topic, because the thing is, state surveillance is a reason to be scared, because state surveillance, if you look at stories like the 2013 Edward Snowden files, it's a genuine concern. But here's the thing, state surveillance is taking place anyway.
Yep, it's automatically there.
Yeah.
Automatically. I started off on that particular angle, Helmut.
Yeah.
Sort of like to help you and your one person, one farm, one vote.
Discussion.
Primarily because I step in here, obviously, full disclosure. Obviously, so also starting myself off as a political speech, dispenser.
Sitting on the protocol already
established. Yeah, already established. Yeah. Do you know what's the weirdest thing? That reading... And, dear listeners, you obviously would have seen our post on social media for today, because the question, which is a hypothesis, Helmut actually tweaked the body of the poster, because I had put in other stuff there. Because I'm going to poke a bear.
I don't have bodyguard. But
the question itself is a hypothesis, because you have to go and ask yourself.
Yeah.
You can even come and assist in participating in the discussion here on air at 083-288-4001. But it's all good if you don't. Don't worry. Don't worry. Helmut and I, we will poke that bear for you.
Yeah.
You have to ask yourself, in 2025, I know 2024 was just that other side. But obviously, if we look at 2025 right now, and the policies and the directions and the speeches and the events that we've now seen ministers and the president, appearing at in full force, rather should I say, because they've literally been on the road a lot across the country.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, Helmut, is land in 2025 the subject? I know we asked that.
Is it a subject that you should be discussing, as in we have much more pressing issues that this should be an afterthought?
That too.
Okay.
Ask yourself that question too. Because the reason why I asked this, because I went and I read through the draft.
Yeah.
Now, I have the document I sent you, the draft of the bill, yeah, of the land bill.
Yeah.
I have reservations because it's a bill. I don't know if the thing was tweaked between 13 March this year and now, to October, or was it 1 October? 2025.
Yeah, it must have been somewhere, somewhere around July. Because I came across a few articles, but this is not this discussion of land. This is just about the tweaking of it.
Just the bill.
Is it tweaking or twerking? But anyway.
Tweak, not to twerk.
Okay. That's now English getting the better of me. It turns out, the second one is more weekend-ish. Now,
it's the one that you don't want your daughter doing.
At least not in front of you.
In front of you. It's the one you don't want your daughter doing in front of you. But there is a concern.
It's all fun and games until it's your daughter doing it. And it's not funny anymore.
Yeah. And here's the other concern, obviously. The concern.
You need to put a leash on this thing.
Hey man, I saw a meme literally yesterday from somewhere else's WhatsApp status that said, watch out, there's nothing more stingy than a well-spoken guy. Meaning, obviously he's talking about an English-speaking guy. A guy that, that probably could be you and me. Because this, apparently we're like the stingiest potential suitors out there.
Well, stingy is such a,
I think it comes from the environment, you know?
No, it's not being stingy. It's called being financially conservative. Let's just say employ them. Look.
I would have rather just gone with tight-fisted attitude, but you know what?
Okay, tight-fisted. That's more catchier.
Yeah. So, apparently that's now Askama, who are, we have got an expansive vocabulary to English. We just don't know yes, goodbye, and nah. but coming back between twerking and tweaking.
Yeah.
So I have a sneaky suspicion. Now, one journalist on the one political party's WhatsApp group asked, can we get the version of the bill that was retabled yesterday? No, not yesterday, on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And the version that was sent is the one that I suspect was the one that was rejected, that the former agriculture minister, Kali Schletwein, had also tabled. But in Minister Inga Zamwani's speech, supposedly there were certain tweaks that took place. I say supposedly.
Yeah.
And the particular tweaks supposedly focused on things like communal land boards, which you and I discussed last year. The essence of, the introduction of foreigners into purchasing land in Namibia. The reason why I position a hypothesis like that for today is because this has to do with rural land.
Mostly communal.
Rural, which is mostly communal and commercial, so it can be anything. Helmut, ask yourself the particular question in this particular light. Where is the biggest need? Is the need housing or is the need to farm? Is the need job creation, employment aspects, and the desire to become industrial? Or is the need in this aspect of achieving Namibia's food security regardless? You now have to mass force people out of urban areas to go and work on these rural areas. We don't live in 1920s Soviet Union. We don't live in the various phases that China went through. Because China had both the cultural revolution, and there was the other revolution, the other one where they had to achieve their industrial and food security revolutions and phases at the same time. We probably have that, but do you now want to tell people go back to the rural area to go create food, but the person studied here at the universities has a student debt of 200,000 Namibian dollars, and you're now telling them, yeah, go back and go till the land. And the person studied a marketing and a business administration program. Is that what you're now telling them? go back and till the land.
Now, more often, you have to understand that, first of all, one of the reasons that, I think that, we more often look at the discussion of land as a sensitive one is, that's not mostly on the subject, if you ask me.
Yeah.
It's mostly on the politicization of the subject. Now.
Exactly. That's why that's why I ask those questions, those opposing questions.
So now, having the discussion itself, the discussion itself is a very easy one to have, but before continuing.
Do you have a question you want answered on air? Have a quick comment you want to share with the presenter? Eagle FM's SMS line is now open. Send your questions and thoughts to 1040. That's 1040 for only $1.50.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. We continue. Now, where was I? The discussion being, it's only considered, more sensitive.
Yeah.
Because, for the most part, when we talk about it, we mostly talk about it for, it's mostly dominated by different, political point of views. The natural touchy, more like the inherent touchy part of the subject is when we start going into the history of how, into the history, into the colonial history of how the land was acquired. Now, that's the inherent sensitive part of the subject. But, whether we like it or not, it's a conversation we must have. Now, when you come to pieces of legislation like this, the reason why I think just getting the document so that you can just read it for yourself is more important than just, than merely just reading it from an article and just, listening to an hour and a half show.
Yeah.
And, which I'm saying, just listen first and then you can just download the whole thing and read.
Yeah.
Because, it's important to get the information, it's important to get the information right because when it comes to subjects like this, it's very easy to politicize it. And we saw that last year, you and I talked about South Africa's land expropriation bill. And how it was misconstrued out there to mean completely different, something that you and I have basically had to go through the whole document and go like, that's not what it says.
It's not what it says. And when I cited the one existing rule or the one existing case study, there's apparently a second case study.
From the South African one?
Yeah, there's apparently a second one because it's in the Gauteng province.
Yeah.
Remember the first one that's supposedly the longest standing dispute is the one from 2018 or something like that.
Yeah.
For the something 400 million rand worth farm, game reserve technically, that borders onto Mozambique. When we look at these particular discussions, now South Africa's one obviously creates a lot of loopholes. But if you're going to look at loopholes in a Namibian context, right? This land bill, Helmut, creates another particular eyesore. Now, I have never understood it in my life. In my life, I've never understood this particular viewpoint, and I've only found it in Namibia.
A particular viewpoint on?
The viewpoint around taxes and taxes on immovable properties, i.e. specifically land. Land. Guys, it makes it literally, firstly, I am, and yes, this is my own other personal view, I am disappointed that we have specifically in this world, the government technically runs around for money at every stage. And when I say it runs around for money, it's the reason why they established NAMRA. So NAMRA is literally working at all cylinders running, full stop, non-stop there. Don't worry, guys. We might send you an invoice for mentioning your name so much.
All 16 of them.
All 16 of your cylinders. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But they target certain particular industries and obviously certain kinds of aspects of the revenue base in Namibia for revenue collection for the state's functions. Now, when you come to the single most important commodity on the land, on the Namibian landscape, which is a land and a land owner, why is the government not taxing communal farmers and communal land boards and traditional authorities for the land that they occupy? Because under the classification of traditional, of communal land, that is government land. Because in the minister's speech, I was now reading, okay, let's look for a balance of situations in terms of a balance in terms of how you try to achieve.
That's the current minister of agriculture.
Of agriculture, yes. Okay. That being Minister Zamwani. And she just goes and talks about land tax, establishing the land tax aspect for commercial farmers. And I read nothing in her speech about
the taxation of communal land.
Of communal land. Whether it be on water, whether it be on potential electricity services being conducted, yeah, or other services being channeled through that. Helmut, I do not like unfairness.
Yeah.
I'll tell it today. I technically, unfortunately, I've, you know, since being a Catholic and many kinds, you can be various versions of a Catholic. You can be the highly corrupt one. You can be the one that has questionable, you know, goals. Or you can be the one that was brought up where you were literally praying at least 8 times a day, 5 times more than the average Muslim out there, in terms of, you know, daily prayers every day, to the point where you literally could be considered a staunch conservative Catholic. Now, in that scenario, you're obviously indoctrinated with understanding morality, the morals of a situation. And that's obviously where it clashes with the, how can you call it, sort of like whether something is legal or not legal. You know, the legality of a function. Yeah. You remember, I think you guys in the law field were also thrown with that question, that conundrum. You know, what is moral? What is legal?
Yeah.
Or what is ethical? What is legal? And then literally this, and the draft says it in its small explainer at the top of the draft. Literally all I see is if I can call it that, an unfair setting. Now, here's where I don't understand this particular discussion, the fixation, and it's literally also the discussion that's not fixed through Namibia's negotiations with Germany.
Yeah.
It's not being fixed. Now, I'm tying in, Helmut, that back in last week, just before the president came back, part of her discussions, she stopped at the, you and I, we've looked at their particular, at this particular outlet's, work, the Center for Foreign Relations, in the US, and it's like a non-profit think tank. The Council for Foreign Relations, this particular logo.
Council on Foreign Relations. Yeah, I know those guys.
So President Nandi Ndaitwah was interviewed in a panel discussion, but it was a woman-centric leadership discussion that was hosted at this council. And she was interviewed by one of the foremost academics there that is a partner of this NGO there in New York. And the president, Josh, obviously explained that before she left for UNGA, that she would be stopping at some of these particular, it was in Philadelphia and there's another particular, Pennsylvania and another place for these academic and business meetings after the General Assembly. And she was asked, obviously, you know, what has been, you know, the roadmap of Namibia post Namibia's independence. And the president cited there that, though she spoke once again also on the land discussion, that the willing buyer, willing seller formula has not worked out so well, which is literally mentioned at the end of Minister Zamwani's speech as well.
Yeah.
Willing buyer, willing seller formula has not worked as well, but Minister Zamwani does not say, you know, what will be the possible solution for this willing buyer, willing seller formula not working out. Because your constitution already protects private property.
Yeah.
Your constitution protects it. Your constitution, Helmut, allows you to have private property. And the laws around that protect your private property and your ownership. Hence the reason as to why you've got insurance companies and banks who are willing to give you money for that private property. But then here's the discussion that then amplifies itself from that exiting point. Now, you do know who is at fault. It's not the Namibians who are the generational Namibians who benefited from the particular, you know, colonial chapters of Namibia. It's no longer them because they've gone on, children were born, and the constitution is there and it protects that.
Yeah.
You only have two methods out of this. It's either you go and change those things in the constitution and you will get a ton of resistance.
Not just the resistance.
You will actually get, Helmut, you will get Donald Trump's ire.
Not just
that. To that level. And that's literally what the South Africans did.
That actually is one of those things that, that's possible. But, I barely focus much on that. Now, yeah. Which is why I pointed out in the beginning having this discussion, it's more important to have it more like with a straightforward thinking mind, because otherwise then it's very easy to end up in a political ping pong like we are seeing with the US. If you look at the US, for example, looking at the observed what was happening in the Biden administration, they were pro a lot of things, because of the progressiveness of the policies that were passed, whether with regards to LGBTQ, abortions, immigrations, you name it.
Yeah.
And then Donald Trump comes into office and basically reverses everything. Now you have the complete opposite, for the most part, of what of what the Biden administration was doing. Now, that's what I mean by by risking ending up with a political ping pong, where you have you can just sit in into office or into the office of any ministry, including the executive office in Namibia, and then you start passing laws without first considering how it's impacting one side. Well, guys, what happens in the next election? Someone on that side
just goes and flops.
Yeah. Is going to take office, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to reverse everything again. And after their administration, your side takes over, and then you have people. You have a country full of flip floppers. You have now it's like you are giving each other tens. This 5 years is for conservatives, and then the other 5 years is for progressives.
Yeah.
And then you have this very, you have this division in a country that more often countries, end up in civil wars because of those divisions. Which is why when it comes to fairness in distribution of pretty much, if you are saving something, take for example, like you just pointed out, like the taxes that are applicable, that is now applicable to commercial farmers.
Mm. They are contemplating it.
They are contemplating implementing to commercial farmers.
Yeah.
Now the question is, are you going to apply that to communal farmers? And if the answer is no, I'm not mocking you. I genuinely just want to know.
Yeah.
Why?
Now, that is where things get puzzling. We know it's a bill, and I know it's early days, and we know it's potentially the same bill that the minister probably just submitted, or it has few tweaks, and I don't know where the tweaks are because I did not see the first version that Minister Schletwein submitted back in March.
Yeah.
Our biggest concern, Helmut, and you can go and ask any person now in the street, the concern is not to have access to land in the bush. I'm sorry, Helmut. Do you want access to land in the bush where you don't have access to services? Okay. Guys, okay. Don't worry. Helmut is just looking at me while,
okay. My nostril is postponing something it's supposed to be doing.
No, Helmut. Okay.
I know this would have made excellent politicians.
Doing something else while you are trying to do something else.
I know.
Yeah.
That question, the answer for a lot of people will most likely be no. Why? It's because more often, again, one of the, one of the talking points that that I've heard more often than not with regards to the land discussion.
Yeah.
Now, whether this is with regards to a bill or just the land discussion in general, this from the first and second land conference, but because so far we've only had two. The last, the latest one we had back in 2018.
Yeah.
Now, and
that's the one whose report you and I, we tried to go through last year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, this is, now, the part that I keep hearing even with my, in my, just a discussion with my, with my peers and, friends in this land discussion is the use of that land as property for collateral.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vindhuk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vindhuk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vindhuk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back, and we continue. And I was on one of the main, talking point that at least I keep hearing when it comes to this discussion is one of the use of land for, the use of land mostly for, mostly for collateral. Now, I don't know what conditions comes with, with using, take for example, a piece of land as collateral. If you went to the bank, for example, if you just look at the, look at the bill itself.
Mm.
Just on the introduction, just the introduction, if I can call it that.
It's the part at the top.
Yeah, the bold part.
Yeah.
Basically summarizes like, basically the reasons behind the bill.
Yeah.
Now, provide for the establishment of communal land boards.
Which is already there.
Yeah.
The land boards are already there.
And provide for their powers and functions. But, well, didn't we talk about the appointments of communal land boards? Was that last year when they?
Yeah, last year when Schledfein appointed the latest or the current ones, basically.
Oh yeah, they're still serving.
Yeah,
yeah. Communal land board land boards. Back to the beginning. Provide for the establishment of communal land boards, which I went like, don't we already have those?
Mm.
And to provide for their powers and functions, you can't, if you have them, they're saving using a piece of legislation, which then outlines their powers and functions.
Mm.
So again, which also made me go like, okay, again, we already have that. Now, to provide for the establishment of a communal land development fund.
That's the other scenario. Guess what? That fund helps to pay for certain functions in the communal areas. For example, certain particular offenses, monies or levies or penalties.
Yeah.
Do you know what's the other thing also? The whole land bill is actually there to consolidate three pieces of existing legislation. And it doesn't include the Water Management Act.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Because what is the biggest concern with land in farming is that access to underground water is a concern. The minister also didn't motivate that. This is also one of the particular reasons why the Auditor General's report cited that our ministries have so many acts. They have so many acts. They have to ensure that each act speaks to the other act. Or you consolidate a bunch. You consolidate those that literally speak to the same resource. And then you make sure that the latest thing speaks to the existing legislation of something else. Do you see the conundrum? It literally is that scenario.
Now,
that is that's the tweaking, that they, the consolidation of the three, it mentions three acts. It's the communal land, it's the communal land act. There's another act that pertains to commercial farms, and then there's a third one pertaining to the establishment of, in the realm of, you know, communal land scenarios. But yeah, you were still asking, Howard.
Oh no, I was still pointing out what I found to be more familiar.
Yeah.
Something that was that I found new with regards to how the bill is basically summarized in the introduction. Communal Land Development Fund, and that is a Communal Land Development Fund to provide for the demarcation. It also goes on to say that it also serves to provide, will serve, because it's still a bill, to provide for the demarcation and the extent of communal land areas, the allocation of communal land rights, to provide for the powers and functions of chiefs, traditional authorities, and land committees in the allocation of communal land rights. And then goes on to talk about land acquisition and development funds and all those. Now, the part that I zoned on the most was on the use of at least for me when it comes to the land discussion was the part of the use of land as collateral because going back as far as I could go back when it comes to the to the land discussion, I came across a 2018 interview on the ENCA 2018 interview on ENCA of of the then minister of the then minister of land reform.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't want to go with Bundle of Joy.
Please.
Yeah.
Please, Helmut, please.
Yeah, and that's actually where I also learned that served as a deputy minister of land reform because I did not know that about him. Now, the thing is, one thing that they both slightly hinted to or directly pointed out is the land distribution. The land distribution, more like they also pointed out to the willing buyer, willing seller as a method that have not worked in terms of equitable land distribution.
Mm.
Now this is post independence, obviously.
Mm.
Yeah. Now and that, and also they also both hinted, or more like directly, especially with the minister, that not the minister, the deputy minister at the time, that. Puts this word that I'm just losing here.
You said
collateral. Collateral. Okay. Yeah. The use of, people want to, they want to have access to finance, which is provided by financial institutions. But, one piece of, for example, of property that is, can be considered, readily available because we're just 3 million and we are sitting in a country that's very large by landmass. The most common debate is that, argument is that, the landmass is too big. Basically, the president's phrase, "we are too few to be poor," applies massively to that one.
Yeah.
That, the land is too big for us to be having a land issue. Now,
true.
Yeah. Then that brings up the discussion of we are working with from the look of things with trial and error here. So we tried, and I assume we're still to some degree applying the willing buyer, willing seller And we, you know, it's mostly, it's more often criticized that it doesn't work. Mm. Actually, one of the questions that the, you know, that, Otoni Nyoma was asked by ENCA was that, how do you deal with, how do you handle the more like the criticism that those of you that are in high power structure, especially in the public sector, sold out because you have come up with a lot of strategies that doesn't seem to work. And one of them is willing buyer, willing seller. Then his response, on the other hand, I'll just take that one for my social media because it's actually funny.
Okay, let's first hear it before you take it.
He pointed his exact words were, "Well, there were no other choice. We're also tired of being in the bushes, like, huh?" And he's talking.
You know what? There's some guys that must be banned from saying words. You know, some ministers, nah, man.
And I
understood the first part of the sentence. We didn't have a choice.
I knew ENCA could not wait to cut that part and then include it.
I mean, how did Nehemiah?
I was like, for the love of God, why?
And he's not living in a bush. Who is he talking about?
He's talking in a reference to liberation movements.
Yeah, but Helmut, that's not a contemporary issue.
Well, the thing is, we were just, mosquitoes in Angola, the size of dogs.
I know. They had to, and they come there in packs. You can't just swat away one.
I'm never going to Angola. Now, the thing is, that response, I've had a couple of, of my friends, point that out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I've also had a few, few callers point out that here. I just didn't know that that's where it came from.
Mm.
Now, this afternoon, going through a bunch of videos on this whole land discussion, I came across that, I'm sure my landlord to this day, he's still asking myself, what was he laughing? Because I laughed so loud. I like, of all the responses he could have given, that?
Yep. Yep. Look, there's nothing wrong, he said. Both actually speak to facts.
Yeah.
Both sides of that statement speak to facts.
Yeah.
But it's a discussion, Helmut, that's also born out of, we have to look, I could understand if the land bill was purely for its consolidation purposes of the three fragmented pieces of current acts that exist today. I could understand that. If it was similar to the exercise that happened last year for the act that was brought forward by Home Affairs, also three pieces of legislation, the Police Act and something else, you know, to have one streamlined act, you know, so they brought all these loose hanging acts.
Separate acts and then make them into one.
Yeah, just streamline it. And then literally one of the opposition parties get up to oppose. I was like, oh my goodness. Why are you standing up to oppose? Can't you see the logic in the exercise? But then obviously the political science, expert that I have access to in my family explained to me, no, that's what the opposition party has to do. I'm like, my goodness. Talk about compounding the issue of why are you getting up and opposing?
don't just oppose for the sake of opposing.
And I was even like flat footed because when I came home and I said, why is this party opposing? I can understand the logic. I mean, former Minister Kawana's English is not Martian English. He's not speaking there with a French accent. No, it was understandable. I could literally understand what the man was saying. Yes, literally, one opposition leader gets up and says, no, this is not the way it should be. I was like, why are you opposing? But they didn't oppose the Financial Action Task Force legislation that former Minister Dausab had to rush through the National Assembly. They couldn't get up and oppose that. Oh no, it was too close to our pockets, Helmut. It was just too close. It was just too close to our money. Sitting with the prospect potentially that your banking system can be blacklisted because of loopholes in your legislation. Loopholes because none of you, of your people sitting in the parliament as an opposition party member, understands accounting. Understands financial law, understands commercial law, understands the Companies Act, understands the Tax Act. None of you sitting in the parliament understand any of those pieces of legislation. But yeah, it's good to shout about human rights. No, it's wonderful.
Human rights are easy.
Yeah, human rights are easy, Hamon. Human rights are also just that much because there are certain things we take for granted to assume that the human rights are automatically protected, right?
Yeah.
You assume it already. Now just to come through and you wonder, you sit there wondering like last year what happened with all those acts. And then you and I came across the Electronic Transactions Act that was one of those acts that were quickly transformed to protect, guess who? Your money.
Financial sector.
And the financial sector. Your money and the financial sector.
Dollar billion.
But guess what? They don't understand the data protection bill. They don't understand the cybersecurity bill. None of them are challenging. Bring forward those bills. Leave the land bill one side. We need to talk about pertinent things. Because guess what? Very few of these opposition parties actually took on even when, remember when MTC and Telecom and all the other service providers had the mandatory SIM registration campaign.
Very few
of them got up and actually opposed that campaign. Because they didn't understand the human rights in that scope even.
Oh, so when the information being collected was being, criticized as it's a little bit of an overkill.
Helmut, it was only the CSOs, remember?
Yeah.
It was only the CSOs that were talking about that discussion. Remember you and I, we brought up, what was that thing's name? Not Transparency International, that other platform that looked at the legislation at hand. No, sorry. It wasn't you and me. I did it separately on the business and economic segment. I brought it up. And it literally spoke of that your government brings in these measures of mandatory SIM card registration before they've actually allowed the passing of data protection and cybersecurity legislation because they first want to collect your data.
And yeah, that's a very valid argument to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, they already have your data.
Yeah.
I mean, you go and register for a driver's license, for an ID, you pay your water and electricity. Yeah. You have all those things through your bank even. Your bank knows and your bank shares your data.
Mm-hmm.
With the central bank.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be also governed by a data protection policy. But your bank will come and tell you, or their legal
representative. What's governing it now?
They will come and tell you. The Know Your Customer, KYS. The Know Your Customer, KYS, is an anti-terrorism legislation. It is imposed on Namibia.
In other words, if it was a choice, who would be like,
It is imposed on Namibia. So the KYS is now because, remember that the resource I sent you the other day? The Global Central Bank Network, the Interbank something. It's known as the IBS. We did the other discussion back in last month about the banking sector. Not the one about a transformation of the financial sector. There was a previous talk about that. I shared a resource on the IBS. The IBS is all the central banks that participate in this, it's like the UN of central banks.
Yeah.
Guess where they sit?
Switzerland.
You go for the dodgiest country to host this gathering. But anyway, yeah. You go for the dodgiest. Look, there's nothing against the Swiss. It's just their history is murky and dodgy. So, the IBS features as the prominent level for banks. If countries have disputes with each other in terms of the financial sectors, they go to the IBS. They don't go to the WTO. WTO is exclusively trade.
Yeah.
But what is involved in trade, Hamad?
A lot of money.
Money. But the IBS is that platform. So instead of the two countries, beefing it out at the WTO through the dispute resolution and dispute filing mechanisms, they literally go here to the IBS. They go to the IBS. They sort out their issues. At the heart of this discussion that I'm trying to cite to you of this whole scenario of the financial sector and its interconnectedness, which many people forget that it's actually interconnected, is literally the KYS came through the IBS. It literally came through the IBS. Now, here's the downside, Helmut. We are literally focusing, hence the reason why I proposed that question in our subject, in our discussion for today. Is it really the conversation we're supposed to have? Because if the genocide discussion.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for repeating it again, but it is the particular single most important chapter in Namibia's history that is responsible for our inequality. Why are we not sorting that history out?
Now
we're trying to sort out, through a weird machination, the particular aspect of, if you're a farmer, a commercial farmer, but you've got a boatload of loans, you've got people that you pay for, as employees, and you've just got overdrafts with your bank running. And without potentially the policymaker understanding what a commercial farm is based on. Helmut, I'll tell you today why the willing beller, willing seller thing failed.
Mm.
And the experiment is very basic. All you have to do is just Google search commercial farm prices in Namibia. And while I'm doing that, quick example for you, you will be astounded at the prices you will see, which is the prices that the Namibian government through the Ministry of Agriculture was never willing to pay. If you as the government wish to participate in a market, you must be prepared to pay market prices, bruh. They are willing to pay $3 billion for condoms, but they're not willing to pay to dole out money for land. Do you see the twisted economics that the government wishes to employ? And it's truly, 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 Helmut, it's truly warped economic thinking. And I get to understand why many economists say the government must stay out of the economy. Look at that farm's price. Look at that farm, and that is a tiny farm, Helmut. That is a tiny farm. 15,000 hectares is a medium
million.
Is a medium-sized farm. 125 million. Namibian government will never pay that money for willing beller, willing seller.
Okay, how were we able to acquire all the land that we have acquired so far since independence to do all the resettlements that we have done?
Well, it was the... Have you ever seen those weird farm labels? Section A of this farm, Section B of that farm.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Remember when we did the PDM Russian billionaire property discussion last year? Remember it was 2.5 farms that were sold.
Mm-hmm.
Ne? The half part was literally a section of an existing farm that was added into the allotment of these three pieces of land. So what happens now is that these pieces of land all get, they get reclassified. So then it becomes, imagine now it's one super piece of land, ne? And then you can break it up into smaller pieces. And then they just get reclassified. They all have the same name because they all came from the same original size. But in many cases, the resettlement farms are the pieces of land of existing farms that the existing commercial farmers said, oh, you know what? You can have that piece of land. And then it's in many cases the not so good part to farm with. It doesn't have access to underground water sometimes, or it has issues in terms of rainfall. Because there are guys that will tell you in the south of Namibia, yeah, it rained on this side of my farm, but for the whole year, no drop has landed there. Or like the one story that I got told by my one sibling about a friend of hers in the south also. Yeah, the rain fell in that corner of the literally. It's only in Namibia where the rainfall pulls lines. It pulls lines on the farms. So it rained in the neighbor's farm, but it didn't rain in your farm. Literally no drop. And you unfortunately have these scenarios in Namibia. Now, what do the farmers
do? A few superstitions, because like, what's my neighbor doing that I'm not?
No, Helmut, you're jumping too far, Tochma.
No, I'm just saying.
Nah, man, you're jumping too far. Now you want to go do rain dances.
Exactly.
Nah. So, the weird thing is now what happens. So what does a farmer do, a commercial farmer?
Yeah.
They sell off the parts that, you know, to try and decrease the tax, the land tax burden.
Mm-hmm.
But then they sell the parts that are not the best to farm on.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, then the government turns around in a resettlement farm program, gives it to a young person, that poor young person now has to go and overload themselves with bank loans. They overload themselves with the bank loans. Now that person has to wait 5, 6, 10 years, you know, to get somewhere. And you unfortunately see the issue here because every year it gets adjusted with interest. So even if that bank tells you, yeah, we will suspend you, your repayment phase for the first 5 years, depending on the project that you're trying to implement. The downside is, Helmut, are you really going to see the return on investment for all the heart palpitations and the high blood pressure potential that you've just exposed yourself to with that financial? Look, I know, guys, we all get stressed when we have to take out loans. And I've seen many Namibians, Helmut, they think like the world is going to end. Go borrow. Look, guys, it's money.
Look, I've learned from debt collection companies. The one thing I've learned from a lot of debt collection companies is that if you want people to pay you back the money they owe you,
yeah,
just annoy them. Because those guys will call non-stop.
Of course.
So it turns out,
it's a very good strategy.
Forget every annoying works.
Yeah.
So I feel like that would be a perfect job.
It's a very good strategy.
That would be a perfect job for last bonds. But,
you said that. I did not say that.
It sounded much better in my head.
You said that. I did not say that. Last bonds you heard from Helmut.
You guys will make. Okay. Anyway, for me, the reason why I'm just focused on the, I'm focused on the just the general discussion of the, of the subject of land is one which, pardon me, because, I've been on both sides of this debate. It's sort of like, I tried to look, I try to look at it from both sides. Like, when I look at it from the, from an ordinary beneficiary side,
yeah,
what's their point of view in the subject? And when you look at, what's this, the red line discussion can quickly come into this, this subject. So, these are subjects that when you bring it up, people are quickly polarized. But here's the thing. If you were a commercial farmer, and we have a lot of people that, on both sides of the racial spectrum that have commercial farms. Now, that means, any bill that we are going to pass is, if it's going to impact commercial farmers, it's going to impact everyone irrespective of your political party or racial, or where you fall in the racial spectrum, as long as you have that property. Now, you have to understand that the main goal of land distribution we have tried to achieve ever since independence is the equal distribution. So equality is embedded in there. So if it has inequality in its application, can easily be questioned over just what type of application are you, what type of equality are you trying to achieve?
Yeah.
Is it equality according to your definition? Now, that then, if you, when you look, now, the reason why I'm looking at that is because every bill that we are going to pass, must be strong enough to stand trial at the Supreme Court, because that's where you are headed.
Mm.
Yeah. Not boxing ring. Mm. You are going straight to the Supreme Court.
Mm.
And the technicality of it is going to be questioned. Now, if you have a loophole at the foundation of what the bill is based on, that is going to lead to a lot of amendments that will bring you back to square one.
Yep.
Now, one of the reasons why I like to focus, also focus on the beneficiary side is because, is it the mining license or exploration license? They had to change. I think that was during Tom Aluendo's tenure. They had to change the requirements of getting is either a mining or exploration license. Why? Because a lot of people, mostly Namibians, that kept getting these licenses, what's the first thing that came to their mind?
They sold it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that means it's either you are into instant gratification, one, or two, you don't know the value of that thing.
Or three, your primary idea
yeah.
is to try and bring in as much foreign investors that potentially elevates the participation in terms of financial capital immediately. That's the reason why you and I keep asking the question, this new idea that the current Minister of Mines and Energy highlighted at, in future, you know, 51% ownership in a mining enterprise. And with the first thing I jumped to was, who has 150 million lying around to participate in just exploration?
Now, let's bring that discussion to land. One of the most criticism that goes to a lot of land beneficiaries that have been have had land given to them already is what are you doing, you know, what are you using it for, and how is it contributing to the overall economy?
Yeah.
Now, this, there are a lot of challenges that comes with farming, water being one of them. At commercial break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back. We're still with the land bill discussion. Just guys, guys, want a transparent leadership. You can find that document online. Read it. Please. Sometimes, Dwight, I hop in a cab. And then I listen to people argue about things. And I'm listening to this other guy giving just flat out, you know, misinformation from the bellies of planet Earth. I'm like, eish, how? Where did he get this information? Now, the thing is, well, he was the taxi driver and I only had 10 bucks. So I had to leave room for negotiation.
So you didn't wanna, you didn't wanna offend him.
No, absolutely not. So, you know, I had to leave room for negotiation. But before we continue, let's take a live read. Get to a ShopRite liquor shop and gear up for your braai celebration at unbeatable prices. 6 500 ml cans Windhoek Premium Draft for only $79.99. High Commissioner Brandy and Cola for only $132.99 for 6 440 ml cans. 3-liter Namakwa Sweet Rosé Boxed Wine for only $128.99. KWV White Wine Selection for just $69.99. Budget savings at ShopRite liquor shops. Alcohol not for sale to persons under the age of 18. ShopRite liquor shop boasts low prices on cocktail, wine, beer, and all your spirit needs. Pay just $169.99 each for Russian bear flavored vodka, Gordon's London dry gin, and Scottish Collie Scotch whiskey. Rock Bay Dark Ram for $154.99 and VAT 69 Scotch whiskey for only $179.99. ShopRite liquor shop for smart savings. Alcohol not for persons under the age of 18. So at the land, on the land discussion. Now I'm pointing out all the flaws also that have existed or that have been observed from the beneficiaries of these pieces, very valuable pieces of properties, and how they are handled and how they are used or misused, combined, you know, or more like, I don't want to use the word misused, more like not mostly used.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, because in that 2018 discussion that the Minister of Land Reform, participated in, and this is with the South African Media House, one of the gentlemen that they interviewed, also in the very same, in the same discussion, was a gentleman by the name of, Delme Cupido. And, who works for Open Society Initiative for South Africa. The human right guys.
Yeah.
And equal distribution. Now, he's the one that pointed out something that I also found interesting with this, with regards to this discussion. That, it's important.
And he's a Namibian, by the way.
Wait, he's?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
No, I'm just pointing out hence the reason probably why he would have been part of
also
the
participated
interview.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. The interesting part of, of what he said was that, this is not, the discussion of land at this point is not just solely about land. Also, it involves in a lot of factors, a lot of people, especially because of the, economic inequality. We're now looking for, we're looking for ways out to make ends meet.
Mm.
And more often, the discussion of land now comes in, which is a genuine concern. Because the concerns with regards to land distribution, exist. Now, the approach now, because of the legal system we have adopted, more like applied, gives us sort of like, trying to, I don't want to say needle in a haystack. Now, we have to unwind something without breaking it apart. It's more like operating surgery. You have to remove the tumor without killing the patient.
Yeah.
Which is why I gave the example earlier that, if the goal of a piece of legislation, take for example with regards to land distribution, is about equal land distribution.
Mm.
And you have inequality embedded in it where you have, more like a partial application of a section or two in that, in that bill, like you pointed out. If you only talk about tax with regards to one land tenure and not the other, you at least have to explain why. Otherwise, then I swear someone is going to be in the Supreme Court explaining why.
People will. But here is the future of land that's going to exist. We as Africans, we have to come to this realization that at one or other point, the state will turn around and say, guys, if you own a piece of land, whether it be communal, whether it be commercial, whether it be urban, whether it be rural, you will pay some sort of a service fee or an action or a, some sort of a taxable fee, a fee that you can, that you have to pay every month or every year. Because I have seen an argument existing there in the Irongo region. The Agricultural Extension Office there explained to us last year, when we went there to the Kuisep River, that the community members there in the Dorop National Park were asking, yeah, please bring us water. Because guess what, Helmut? The access to borehole water was unreliable. If it doesn't rain the areas.
Rainy seasons, for example?
Yeah, no, but it doesn't rain that side. I'm talking about if the rain has to fall somewhere else. And I suspect it's on those
and
areas.
And then there's the,
yeah, which flows down. It flows down into the river.
Like
that river it's a pretty long river.
Just
river.
Ditches and one of those, is it non-perennial rivers they're called?
Perennial is what? Always running.
I think so.
Yeah. So, the issue from that is if it doesn't, if Namibia doesn't have a healthy enough rainy season, communities like that Utusep community in Irongo, they suffer. Because they don't have, that the water level in the borehole doesn't get replenished. Now, when I explain scenarios like that to you, NamWater then obviously tries to respond. And at that stage in, was it February or March last year, NamWater was trying to, was at that stage installing, and it's a massive pipe, Helmut, it's as big as this wall. The diameter of the pipe is as big as this wall. That's how big the pipe is.
The height from the floor all the way to the ceiling?
Yeah. A massive black pipe. You know, obviously because of the sunlight that it doesn't reflect and obviously that it, it doesn't,
the metal itself doesn't expand and contract and expand and contract, and ultimately it starts cracking and leaking.
Yeah.
That pipe is there to bring water to the people living there. The extension officer at that agricultural extension office there, when we asked now, will the people pay for water? She says, well, the biggest question is that the people don't want to pay for the water, but they're asking the government to please come and bring them water and please rescue. So when you come to communal areas, Hamoud, I understand that there are needs. And I understand people need to be empowered to be self-sufficient, because we don't want to hear about malnutrition elements again.
Mm-hmm.
But there also comes a threshold in terms of, so you've got one kind of a Namibian that is, what do they call it? I don't want to say innovative, but they run an enterprise that makes money. They sell products. They make a living. They don't have an 8-to-5. Some of them have to work in the cities or in Windhoek or whatever to run a separate business that has to give them like the money they need in order to finance other things on the farm. And then you've got another bunch of Namibians, which I don't know clearly for what reason, what's going on there. I really don't know.
Now, look, there's a type of, a report that I think we must, look at. Like, the two different land tenures that we have.
Mm.
And the goals that we would like to achieve by using this land, because we have a lot of green schemes going on. I understand all these things are tailored towards ending, combating, food insecurity in the country. Mm. When it comes to the use of land and how it's used, and what you are required to do with it, and what you are required to to pay for it in terms of in terms of levies and taxes. That any requirement that the law apply to commercial farms, what's the equivalent, if any, of that to communal farms?
Mm.
Yeah, because now what we are looking at is I think my at least personally my point of view is one of you can look even if the best land distribution method was was applied in Namibia and everyone had equal land, we'll still be having a discussion of that one is not using their land, that one is busy selling their land to foreigners after
which will now be banned under this thing.
Exactly, after a bunch of bills were basically signed, prohibiting that very act.
Yeah,
but now when you have someone that's coming from AKA foreign direct investment or foreign direct investors, as we call them. It's important. I think it's important to first of all understand, what are the requirements? Like, what is required for you to operate a piece of land on commercial level? Even if you're not on the commercial side of the, commercial farming side of the country. Even if you are on communal land, if you have a piece of land that you, that you want to commercialize. What are the requirements? The very simple ones is that you need a lot of equipment.
Yeah.
If you are going into farming, it's not rocket science. Whether in communal or commercial, you need a lot of equipment. You need a lot of water. And you need a lot of, insecticides and all of this. Of course, there are a lot of regulations that you'll have to meet coming from both Ministry of Agriculture and Environment. Now, the question is, do we have enough knowledge of how to operate this on a commercial level? Or we just want to go communal all the way? Because if we want to contribute significantly to the economy, we have to scale up the farming, at least, 15, 20 years or even 30 years, we are doing things on a commercial level.
Yeah.
Now, we did talk about, those projects that were taking place in the Zambezi, where people were just doing backyard farming. It's a good place to start,
yeah.
But even for that, we don't have enough money. And here's the thing. Those guys were asking for more money because they kept saying the money that they're being given so far is not enough. At least, that's why they came up with the proposal of how about we just allocate each financial year and dedicate the entire budget that's allocated, that's dedicated to these projects to one constituency per financial year. And of course, that was also not very, you know, got somewhat of a hostile reception. But, and then we looked at the, you know, the now former Ministry of Youth, projects where people were given money. And then they kept saying, but we don't have a market. Yeah. Really?
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Fourteen minutes left to the hour of six, and it's a Friday, so just drive safe and do something that I'm terrible at, you know, breathing. I have to be reminded.
Or just be calm, guys. Don't worry. You know, you know, all you will need, obviously, is that a towel and a notebook and you know, ensure that the galaxy will still be there.
Yeah, that and also watch out for that weekend where your money meets.
Is that not us, for you and me?
Unfortunately, yes. I know.
Look, there's nothing we can do, Helmut. You know, if there is such a particular intersection, then the intersection exists.
No, I have the best solution for that. What? Usually I just sleep.
Yeah, you ensure you go have a, you know, you go smile at people in public spaces and you go back home.
No, I just go and kill imaginary enemies.
That too, yes. That too.
I mean, that have worked a lot for me since high school.
But
yeah,
our question, Helmut, still, you know, slightly still, seems unanswered. Obviously, I have to observe now in the coming week, the level of articulation in terms of the arguments that would be put forward by the various.
Hence, the deliberation is on your marks, ready, go.
Exactly. Another concern that I've got is obviously, if you and I know that the biggest need in Namibia, and I know that the other Namibians know about this need as well, is that it's a need to affordable housing. Why are we bothering with this thing of consolidation of the agricultural sector's prowess? Why?
Well, obviously to, you know,
the broccoli guy became clever. The broccoli guy moved into a communal area.
More like food insecurity.
Yeah, he moved into a food, into a communal land area, okay. Was given permission, mm-hmm. Went from there.
Okay, but, you know, just, for how long again did he stay rehabilitating that land?
It was something like, the first 2 years. It's now since he's been there for 5 years.
I don't think I have that luxury. Because
so for the first 2 years, he was rehabilitating a former bunch of Mahangu fields.
That have, of which?
Whose nutrients, the soil's nutrients were completely depleted. And he just spent, you know, time just rehabilitating. For 2 years, just rehabilitating those pieces of land.
What was he eating?
He said he was living for 2 years in his tent.
And that's one heck of a sacrifice.
And I don't want to wish to embellish things, but I'm just going to give you the facts as it comes out of the horse's mouth. Homeboy is the son of a farmer below the red line. This area here, close to the capital. Even though he told us
they... I know what he was eating.
Yeah, he was being sent e-wallets, you know? buying from the local shops there in Nkurunkuru.
I know, I don't have that.
And then he settled. I mean, Helmut, not everyone. I don't believe people anymore that can come and tell me, no, I lived off the land. And I go like, and your teeth are white.
Yeah, that's like, you know, that.
Your
like,
teeth are white.
That's like okay. Donald Trump's success story. Well, I started my business with a small loan of $1 million. My father, are you kidding me?
He inherited his father's business. And his father already had the money.
Uh-huh.
So he would have anyway inherited the business. A small loan. Nohal.
It's a business of $1 million.
It's the same story like the aspect in terms of what made, what's his name? Bill Gates achieve that. Bill Gates and his buddies wrote the program. Guess for who? For IBM. Guess what? Bill Gates' mother was on the board of IBM. Oh, wow. So she had undue influence. You could call that corruption today, but you know what that is known as in the corporate world? That's known as competitive advantage, Hamut.
Competitive advantage?
Yeah. You know somebody that can get you there through the door.
I know we do that already here. You know, we just do it in terms of iPhones with two SIM cards. Okay, I'm going to a public event after this.
We better find different examples. But I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, as showstoppers in Namibia, you know, our former ministers have been showstoppers themselves.
Busy. I don't know if they still do, but, earlier on when it was Free of Mind, they were huge fans of our show. I think that's because, well, you have all the time in there. Now, the discussion of Lent for me is not one that is as sensitive as people make it out to be. Because for me, I think looking at it from a technical point, because a bill, that's basically what's going to be looked at.
Yeah.
At a technical point. And the technical sensitivity behind this can be seen from, the National Arts Council Fund. It's one section, curtailed everything. One section.
Which can be challenged in a court.
Yep. Even UNESCO was like, look, I want to work with you guys, but not with this flaw. You're going to have to fix it.
Yeah. And you better speed the process up.
Yeah.
Now, this technically means that there is a process of bypassing a National Assembly.
We saw that with, the grey listing threat? Yeah. Oh boy, that's when I learned that,
the threat of grey listing.
It turns out we can work really fast.
Yes, yeah, without a National Assembly.
Yeah, we can do it, really fast.
Very fast. Which actually then begs the question, why? Why are we going through the theatrics of a National Assembly?
I think this is where presidents now becomes also works to be very anti-progress. Because what you don't want is to keep, slingshotting some of the projects through, because then it's going to, it's going to work very positive if you start slingshotting all the positive things. But then when someone with the Austrian painter mentality comes in, they will start slingshotting all the negative things. Mm. You know, like I pointed out earlier using that, term I just coined on my way here, political ping pong. Like we're seeing in the US. The Biden administration was very pro-progressive movements. And then the Trump administration is very pro-conservative movements. So everything that you see happening in the Trump administration is more of the opposite of what happened during the Biden administration. Now, which one is going to happen next? Now come 2030, whether the direction the US is going to take, whether the US is going to take progressive or conservative direction, depends on the person in office. Now, it's very counterproductive when you are just focused on the political differences, because back then, A lot of people that are pro, you know, during the Biden administration, a lot of people that are, a lot of people did not put in mind that the Biden administration is not going to last for, you know, until eternity. So they kept taking advantage of the foundation that was very laid in front of them to say all kinds of dumb things. And then Trump came into office. Then the script is flipped. Mm. And you have the very same people that were criticizing those ones that were, you can call as, you know, abusing the progressiveness of the Biden administration. They're doing the exact same thing today.
Yep.
With their conservativeness. Now, the point is, power distribution is dangerous. Some of us are not, I don't think we are, you know, we have the energy to handle power. Give us a lot of it, we turn into Jeffrey from Game of Thrones. You cut off the tongue of everyone that disagrees with you. Now, that was Jeffrey from day one.
I know, Helmut, but, you know, for us to continuously reference that example, you know, it is a bit bloodthirsty.
I know.
Yeah.
Which is why it's my favorite. Okay, the next thing we're obviously going to see with regards to this bill is the deliberation on, obviously the deliberation from Parliament and how things are going to end, whether it's going to suffer the same fate like its predecessor or it's going to take a different course. What I'm going to be, what I'm waiting for is part two, section 16, Communal Land Development Fund. Establishment of Communal Land and Development Fund. There is established a fund to be known as Communal Land Development Fund. Despite anything contained in any other law, the Communal Land Fund consists of money appropriated by Parliament for purpose of the Communal Land Fund, money accruing to the Communal Land Fund by virtue of this act, an interest in on investments made from monies of the Communal Land Fund, and this number 2.0. I'm never going back to that office, am I?
Maybe.
Yeah. So, just get the document, read through it, so that when the debates are being made, you are going to be following the discussion. The problem with us is, I'll bet you $5, this is what's going to happen. We are just going to sit through the whole thing without reading that document. And when when the bill is passed, that's when we will have all kinds of things to say.
Oh no. I'll up you on your $5. We'll make it at $7. Primarily that this bill has been presented in this part, this week, most now, which is now done. And when we get into next week, Helmut, it won't be long before we go into a recess because the political parties want to go and campaign. No, you've got to look at the realities on the ground versus the other realities that we hope would have been the situation. We are in campaign season already, my guy.
Yep.
It won't be long. Because the other thing is also, when the debates start next week, now there will be questions and answer sessions. Question and answer sessions from Tuesday flows into Wednesday. From Wednesday flows into Thursday. It ends on Thursday. On Thursday they go like, you know what, we are tired. Let's call it a week. People that work half a week, half a day, yeah, ne? No, I've also been taken for a sucker by participating in elections.
Didn't have to point that one out.
Hey, man, when you realize, Helmut.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on, man. I mean, the longest probably that any Namibian MP has worked, ne, is if they go to the SADC, not the SADC thing, what's the thing? The Pan-African Parliament, where they've got to be there from morning till night. Morning till night. Not the starting at 2:30 and then ending at 6:30 situation. Nah, man.
This could have been an email type of
meeting. Many of it could have been Zoom calls with the power of the microphone sitting at the speaker's end.
The power invested in me by
the microphone, by Zoom. But yeah. So obviously it's a discussion of seeing
seconds to six. So.
Yeah, it's obviously a question of seeing how far
we're good.
This particular debate will go, what it will actually bring forward, what positives might stem from it. But I have a sneaky suspicion, Helmut. You and I, our bets probably won't even be satisfied. So I rest my case there on that point.
I'm going to round it up, you know, for me with the use of the land, the distribution and, or, you know, the distribution and everything. Well, we have a bill going that basically for me, at least for me, shows that, well, lawmakers are headed the right direction. I hope it's not all being done because of the upcoming local elections. And now, the thing is, well, you can see that, oh, okay, first of all, the good thing is we're having the conversation.
Mm.
Yeah. When it comes to the land distribution. But after it's, you know, for the ones that have already been distributed, how much progress with the intended goals that we have, that we had in mind when these goals, lands were, portions of land were distributed, how much of those goals have we achieved?
Mm.
Yeah. Now, if there were resettlement farms like the ones that we, you know, our colleagues and the land ministry got lost last year, trying to find. Still my favorite part of 2024.
On the way to the Komanin traditional authorities unveiling of the.
See, this is why I like, you know, this is why I like, you know, standing committees. They, you know, they are standing on the ground. But these guys, gave a portion of land. Not a single one of them have been to. And now when it came to, let's go and do, make this official. That's when everyone went, where's that land located again?
And I didn't know that Comas is that big, Helmut. I did not know Comas was that big, that you that you get lost for 100 kilometers.
The land that we gave those guys, which direction is that?
In Comas.
If it was in another region, maybe, but in Comas, seriously?
Eish. Okay, you know, there are levels. Namibia has levels, I'm telling you now.
Comas region residents got lost in Comas. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You gotta love having a microphone in your face every day.
No. I mean, these are facts, guys. We're explaining to you facts. So it was an interesting thing because it obviously showed that, because at that stage, Comas was the only region that didn't have a traditional authority.
Yeah.
And this is obviously also a resettlement farm or resettlement land that was now converted into communal land.
Yeah.
Which would now obviously meant that the resettlement of a traditional authority peoples from one side of the region to that side of the region be placed.
So, now, resettlements, resettlements, check, but,
land, check.
Land, check.
Yeah.
So.
Moving the people, check.
Yep. Making it official, check.
Wait, no. Making it official was, in writing. Yeah. Getting there to make it official was like.
I was going to say getting lost, check, but you already ruined it. Okay, we really have to go.
Well, on that note, guys, on that note, we'll see you again, same time, same place next week. You can catch me on Sunday. You can catch Helmut also on Sunday.
Yeah.
Helmut, you're also on Sundays, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can catch us both on our respective Sunday shows. Obviously, me at 5 a.m. Helmut, you're at?
I mean, from 11 to 1.
11 to 1. And that obviously means, dear listeners, this is the end of the week. End of this Friday session of the Home Run. We'll see you again. Same time, same place. David just stepped in. Yeah, he's already chasing us out. And on that note, enjoy the rest of your programming, guys.
To
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other
station. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my candidature. Menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipuranenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetida oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetida o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka okone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.